Please come with me to Proverbs chapter 4. In reverence of the word of the Lord, I will ask you to stand up. If you can stand up, you may remain seated, please. But if you can, I invite you to come with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Please remain seated if you can't. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Proverbios capítulo 4, versículo 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now come with me to Proverbs chapter 9. A little more forward, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The beautiful word of the Lord says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, one more time, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Help us, my Lord, to cultivate the fear of the Lord in our heart. In the name of the Almighty Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, my brethren. Another way to read this passage will be this, and with all thy getting, get fear of God. The wisdom, the real wisdom, my brethren, is fear of God in our hearts. In this portion of the scriptures, King Solomon urged his children to acquire above all wisdom, or rather before all things to acquire fear of God. Oh, my brethren, how sad is to see how God is no longer feared today. The philosophies of this world undermining the moral standards of God, the nations of the world conspiring against the moral standard of God, and how sad is to see also people who say they know God and in works they deny Him, living a life without the true fear of God in their life, which is the most terrible thing, is that people outside, they say they know God, but they don't live fearing God in their hearts. And giving a terrible and wrong message, a wrong example to people who are looking for the light. In this verse, King Solomon urges to acquire wisdom, which is above all things to acquire fear of God. Another rhetorical question is, how do we achieve the true fear of God in our life? Before continuing, I would like to clarify a point. Fear of God doesn't mean that you do not dare to approach God, because God has His hand open waiting for you. Right? Amen? Fear of God doesn't mean that you do not dare to approach God. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I know you know all the passages, but as Apostle Paul says, it doesn't bother me to repeat and repeat and repeat. The Word of God is like rice and beans in Puerto Rico. You eat rice and beans every day. So in the church, we eat the Word of the Lord every day, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace with need. Let us come with all confidence to our Father in heaven. So, fear of the Lord doesn't mean that you do not dare to approach God. You need to come confident to your Father in heaven. Well, this is a very simple message. When I do my notes, I do in Spanish. And that's the only way I can do it. Then I translate to English little by little. And then I have my notes in English. When I do my message, my Bible in English have a dictionary on the backside. And my Bible in Spanish have a dictionary. And the backside, some of your Bibles have a dictionary. So I made the homework to define fear of God with the dictionary of the Bible. And the dictionary defined that way. Very simple. Fear of God, first, is worship Him. Amen? He who fears the Lord will worship God. Amen? Right? Second, fear of the Lord is serving Him. He who fears the Lord will serve the Lord. Right? And third, fear of God is obey Him. He who fears the Lord will obey the Lord. Amen? Which is the most important. He who fears God will obey God. Now, I would like to share with you, for me, the best example of a man who really feared God in his life is in Genesis chapter 22. Come with me. Vaya conmigo a Genesis, capítulo 22. Ahí va a ver el ejemplo de un hombre que verdaderamente le temía a Dios. Genesis chapter 22, a best example of a man who really feared God. His name was Abraham. Abraham. Genesis chapter 22. Come with me to Genesis chapter 22 in your Bibles. Genesis capítulo 22, versículo 9 al 15. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9 to 12. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Let not thine anything lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. When you stop and think about this passage, it talked about a very old man that God answered his prayer. The Lord gave him one son when Abraham was very old. And the most difficult part is that God asked him to sacrifice his kid on the altar. That part is, for me, is so difficult. Because now that I am a father, if God asks me to slay my kid on the altar, I just can't do it. I just can't. And I'm sure you neither. But Abraham, he feared God at the point he said, I will do it. I will do it. And he was ready to slay his kid because God asked him. Why he did? He did because he feared God. He feared he who asked him to do it. He wanted to obey his Father in heaven. When I compare to Abraham, I'm so far from obeying and fearing my Father in heaven. The good news is that today, God is not asking us to slay our kid on the altar. Praise the Lord. But He's only asking us to obey the basic things of Christian life. And a lot of the time we're found disobedient to our Father in heaven. Wow, He's not asking us such difficult things. That thing we need to think, why if God is not asking me to slay my kid on the altar, why I'm disobeying Him, the basic things of Christian life? He's just asking us to obey, only to obey the basic things of Christian life. Be faithful to the local church, give the tithe, support our pastor, advance His kingdom now, sharing our faith with the lost souls. It's things that we can do. And sometimes we are found disobedient because we don't fear our Father in heaven as we should be fearing our Father in heaven. We as children of the Lord, we need to rededicate our life. And ask the Lord to forgive us not to fear Him as He deserves to be feared and obeyed. Right? We need to do that. Things need to change among us in the people of God. We need to rededicate our own life to do better. He deserves it. He don't deserve less. You can say, oh, we are doing this and I'm doing that. Yes. But we need to do more for Him. We need to cultivate more fear of God in our own life. Say the preview, let us study how to fear God. First, to fear God, you have to know Him first. To fear God, you have to know Him first. Come with me to Romans chapter 10, my brethren. Romans chapter 10 in our Bibles. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romanos capítulo 10, versículo 14. Romanos capítulo 10, versículo 14 al 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom of they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And also you can add, how shall they fear the Lord outside if the children of the Lord we don't show fear of our own Father in heaven? We need to show fear of our own Lord in order to be a good example for them. When you give yourself the task of truly knowing God, you will know His holiness and His power. God is holy, God is pure, God is judge. He does not overlook our sin, my brethren. At this point, and you can appreciate the beauty of the gospel, because also His love, He is the true love, and because of love, He sent His only begotten Son in propitiation, in payment for all our sins. It was an exchange. Jesus took our place and He received the punishment we deserve for our own sin. And He died for us. For our own sin. We are guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. But the good news is that Jesus resurrected from the death. Amen. Jesus is alive. Amen. Because Jesus is alive, we have eternal life with Jesus in heaven. We have the only hope in this world is Jesus Christ. Because we have Jesus Christ, we have the whole hope we need. The only hope is in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, there is no hope for this world. Only eternal punishment and hell. That's why it's so important we need to rededicate our life and fear our Father in heaven and take it seriously in terms of sharing our faith with the lost souls. After the Lord opened our understanding to know Him and His power, believe me, you will fear the Lord. When you give yourself the task of studying who is God and what He did, you will end fearing Him. You have no other conclusion other than fearing God with all your heart. The most basic example of fearing the Lord is our own parents. I had the privilege of being raised by my two parents in Puerto Rico 41 years ago. You know what happened 41 years ago in Puerto Rico when you disobeyed mom, a Puerto Rican mom? You know what happened? Well, Puerto Rican moms back then had a very powerful tool. They had what we call flip-flop. And my mom, Doña Claribel, Miss Claribel, she knew how to use the flip-flop. Bam, bam, boom, bam. She knew how to use it. When Javier disobeyed mom and dad, then my mom came with a very powerful tool, the flip-flop. And that flip-flop visited my backside. And believe me, I fear my parents because I fear the flip-flop. I fear the punishment when I disobey. The correction. I fear the correction. But let me tell you something. When I needed something, I came with all confidence to my parents because they always loved me, as Pastor said this morning. When I needed my daughter loved an ice cream, I think because I love ice cream too. When I needed an ice cream, he said, Dad, I want an ice cream. It's 95 degrees. And he said, well, let's buy an ice cream or wait until I next payday or when I see my thumbs through the hole in my sneakers. Say, Daddy, we need to go to Kmart to buy me a new pair of shoes. He said, let's go or wait until I have money to buy your new pair of sneakers. But I have that relationship with my parents. That's the same relationship we need to cultivate with our Father in heaven. We need to come with all confidence to our Father in heaven. And also, we need to fear our Father in heaven too. We need to obey our Father in heaven. We need to make Him happy. Oh, Lisa Marie know how to make Daddy happy. She just obey Daddy, right? You obey Daddy, right? When you obey Daddy, what happened? You have your ice cream, right? Yes? Oh, yes. She love ice cream as Daddy. Though. I love ice cream too. And that's the same relationship we need to cultivate with our Father in heaven. Obey our Father in heaven. And by the way, those who do not know God and to die without knowing Him, they voluntarily decided to die in their ignorance because God is righteous. Amen? God is righteous. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Those who do not fear the Lord is because they voluntarily decided not to fear God. That's why it's so important we go to outside and share our faith with the lost soul. Segunda de Pedro, capítulo 3, versículo 5. Segunda de Pedro, capítulo 3, versículo 5. Second Peter, chapter 3, verse 5. Let's read from the 4. Vamos a leerlo del 4. Let's read from the 4. And saying, what is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the word that then was being overflowed with water and perished. They voluntarily decided not to fear God. God is righteous. Now I would like to share with you a best example of two men that were grew in the best environment to fear God, but they voluntarily decided not to fear God in their hearts. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Primera de Samuel capítulo 1. El mejor ejemplo de dos hombres que crecieron en un ambiente perfecto para temerle a Dios. Sin embargo, ellos decidieron no temer a Dios. Nevertheless, they decided not to fear God. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, chapter 1, sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 1, Primera de Samuel, capítulo 1, versículo 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, of the Anthonias, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, chapter 2, verse 12. Capítulo 2, versículo 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Huh? But the first chapter 1 says they were priests. In chapter 2, they said that they did not the Lord. They had no fear for the Lord. Back then, the priesthood was inherited by their kids. But in that case, those kids decided not to fear God. When you read the passages before and after, they were doing terrible things. Even I don't like to mention in the pulpit. They do very terrible things. Now, chapter 4, verse 11. Immoral things, terrible. Chapter 4, verse 11. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. They went to hell. They decided not to fear God. They went to hell. Even their parent being a priest and believer, they decided not to fear God. That was what is so important. We, the parents, have the burden, a special burden for our kids. We can't give up. We can't give up. Never. We don't gonna give up. Amen? We can't give up. Is there eternal life? Second, now the rhetorical question, how to know God? How to know God is only through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to meet God, you need Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus Christ. Period. Only Jesus. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name is Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, you need Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to proclaim Jesus Christ until He comes. We are waiting for Jesus. We're going to continue proclaiming Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Only Jesus. You want to be saved? Only Jesus. You need Jesus. No religion, not good works. Outside of Jesus, there's no hope. That's why we need to take it seriously. Obeying our Father in heaven, fear Him, and sharing our faith. You can read the Bible and know passages by memory. But if you don't have a relationship with Christ as Lord and Savior, you have only an intellectual knowledge. And let me remind you, intellectual knowledge never saved nobody. Never. Never saved. When you knock doors in Puerto Rico, you ask people, who is Jesus Christ? And people say, oh, Jesus is everything for me. And they know John chapter 3, verse 16. In Spanish. Huh? Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. Sometimes they say it like this. John chapter 3, 16. Porque de tal manera. Or something like that. And he says, seriously, really? You fear God? Really? People outside, they don't fear God. We need to show fear of our Father in heaven. We, the children of the Lord, to be a good example for them. When they see the children of God gathering together every Sunday in the local church, we are sending a message. We are here because our God is real. Amen? That's why we get together, because Jesus is alive. He is our Savior. That's why we don't stop the gathering together in the local church, because Jesus is alive. Amen? And we fear our Father in heaven. Shall not forsake him to assembling as a matter of some is. Right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We, more than ever, we need to rededicate our lives as children of the Lord in terms of fearing our Father in heaven and giving a good example to the lost souls. Oh, my brethren, more than ever, my brethren. The benefit of he who feared the Lord. Benefit of he who feared the Lord. Come with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. It's the same order in Spanish or English. Ecclesiastes, capítulo 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18. It is good that thou should take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand, for he that fear God shall come forth of them all. A big blessing for he who feared the Lord. Now for the ladies, go with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, everyone come with me to, especially our ladies among us. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Look how beautiful is the word of the Lord. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Wow. In Puerto Rico, it's very popular, the beauty contest. Those contests where the ladies weigh 80 or 90 pounds with almost no clothes. And walk like that with all the hair. And they go, oh, what a beautiful lady. Oh, and they walk almost with no clothes. And those ladies are teaching something to the young ladies that they need to be this or wear that to be beautiful. Let me remind you, lady, if you fear the Lord in your heart, you're the most beautiful woman in front of God. No matter what this world tried to teach you or deceive you, you need to wear these clothes or act like that. What you need is fear God in your heart. Now that I have a daughter, Lisa Marie, I don't want her to learn that deceiving, that she needs to be like this or wear that to be beautiful. If Lisa and I teach Lisa Marie to fear God, it's all she needs to be the most beautiful lady. Fear the Lord. Oh, that's what makes a woman beautiful. When she in her heart fear God. Oh, it's so sad when you go outside and you see a youth, a girl that haven't been teach how to fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 24 is for the young people among us. Proverbs chapter 24. We're almost closing. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. My son, Fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? He says, don't meddle. I don't know how to translate that word to Spanish. Es como, no te entremetas con gente que no teme a Dios. Tú no necesitas amigos que no temen a Dios. You don't need friends that don't fear God, because the calamity will come suddenly and the ruin will visit both you and your friend, because you were meddling with people who don't fear God, young people among us. You can tell, oh, Javier, I have a friend. I want my friend be safe. And I want that my friend be safe, and I share with my friend because I want to be safe. Yes, and definitely is a good opportunity, good chance to reach your friend for God. But if 2-3 years happen and you don't see that person don't want to come to Jesus, don't want to come to church, is not interested in repent, it's time for you to pass the page and continue with your life. Because if you don't do it, the calamity shall come to you too. Definitely. In Puerto Rico, it's hard, it's very shame to say that when you knock doors, there's a 50% of the chances that if it's a young person behind the door, it's 50% of chances that it's related with drug or have used drug or sell it. It's sad. And I had the opportunity to bring a young man to the Lord. He was 19 years old. And he lived in what we call caserio. It's like a project where poor people live and they have no rent or almost negative. And there is a subculture of drug, prostitution, all that stuff. And I bring him to the church. And he came and one Wednesday he said, Javier, what happened to a person who repent and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? And he sells drugs. I said, if your friend receives Jesus, God don't want that for his children. So your friend must run from that kind of life. God is not the will of God. The children of God or use or sell drugs. No kind of relationship with those illegal drugs. And he said, okay. Then Sunday he came and I brought him to the church in my car. And he said, Javier, do you remember my friend that I told you who became Christian and he was selling drugs? Yes, I remember. He said, it's me. That guy, it's me. And I said, oh, really? I knew it was him. He was so sad because he, like a few weeks later, he got caught by the police. He got in jail. And I never visited a jail before in my life. Jails in Puerto Rico are terrible places where you put your feet there, they start to say bad words to you. It's like a piece of hell on earth. It's terrible. And that young kid was inside of that hell. He was I don't want to say good kid because nobody's good. But it was it was sad. And I went to the date on court, and I saw him, and I said, man, what happened to you? And he started to cry, saying that he had a friend who led him to this kind of life. So young men who, that's mean that I need to cut. I'd be very going to cut. Young men are among us, please. Don't mingle, don't medley with people that don't fear God. You don't need that in your life. There are a lot of, when you come to the Lord will bring you a new friends that fear God, and they will be a blessing to your life. And when you get your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, you will be very grateful that you have those friends in your life. That happened to me. I left behind a lot of friends that I love them, and I try to bring them to the Lord, and they say no. The last one, I remember, I was 16 years old, I had my own car, and he just knock the door. Bam! I don't want you to talk to me about Jesus. It was my last friend. I love him. I lost him forever. He said he don't want nothing from Jesus. Apparently his father was a believer, but was no good example to him. He said, don't want to go to church, don't care about church. And was my last friend. But God gave me hundreds of friends, new friends that fear God. Even in different countries. Friends that if I need food, they will give me what food they have for me. Friends that are willing to go to die for me. Those are real friends. Friends in Jesus. And I am so grateful that my new friends, I have hundreds. I can't count how many friends God gave me. And last one, if for men, come with me to Psalm chapter 102. You thought you will escape. Because there are ladies, young people, and men say, oh, they don't touch this point. No, we're going to touch the last one for you. 112, and with that one we're going to finish because I think I took more time than... Psalm 112. And I'm going to finish with that one. Praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endure forever. What a blessing. When a man in his house feared the Lord, when a man feared the Lord in his house, it's a blessing for his wife, it's a blessing for his kids, it's a blessing for the neighbors, it's a blessing for co-workers, it's a blessing for the local church, it's a blessing for the whole nation. But when a man doesn't fear the Lord, it's a disgrace for the wife, it's a disgrace for the kid, it's a disgrace for the neighbors, it's a disgrace for the local church, and it's a disgrace for all nations. And it's what is exactly what is happening in our own nation that is going down and down and down because men stop fearing the Lord and coming far from the fear of God. And that needs to be changed, starting from us. He who climb our own as children of God, things need to change and get better in our own life in order to be a good example in our own country, reaching people for the Lord. Because let me remind you something. Your first mission field is not Puerto Rico. I'm a missionary to Puerto Rico, encouraging people to come to Puerto Rico to the mission field. But let me remind you something. Your first mission field is not Puerto Rico or Arabia, China, Iraq. Your first mission field is here in Frederick, Maryland. It's your first mission field. If you don't do here, don't pretend to do it far. You must be salt of the earth and light of the world here in your own mission field. If Jesus come tonight or come tomorrow, I'll be glad to encourage you not to go to Puerto Rico, but to do your mission field here in Frederick, Maryland. It's your language, your people, your area, people you love. This is your first mission field. Please pray for burden for your own, your first mission field. How many men are here to this morning? Could you raise your hand? How many men? We have a great representation of men. And yes, you can. Could you stand up where you are? You don't need to come. Just stand up. I just want to see something. If the ladies can see, we have a great representation this morning of men. They are head of their house. We need them. In Puerto Rico, men are, most of the time, trying to be present as worthless. This generation in Puerto Rico, they are teaching that they don't need a man in his house. And it's terrible. Our kids are paying the consequences, be raising without parents. And our island is paying the consequences of men doesn't get encouraged to serve the Lord and we are paying the consequences. Please, ladies among us, sisters, let's pray for our men because we need them. We need them. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful church. No matter the pandemic, they are obeying your word, and they are encouraged to advance your kingdom now. We ask you especially for our men in our church. We can do nothing with them. We need them. We need them. This world outside teach that nobody is indispensable or indispensable. Yes, we are. You call us to serve you. You want to serve us in order for you to get the glory. See those men this morning and young men, please. We ask you to fill them of the Holy Spirit, to be salt of the earth and light of the world, and bright for you. Use them, because if you bless them, they will bless their families. They will be an impact to the local church. They will be an impact to the neighborhood. They will be an impact to their families. And hundreds and thousands of people will hear the gospel because they just rededicated their life. Please, we ask you to bless them and fill them of the Holy Spirit. In the name of your mighty Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. One more thing. Could you raise your hand? Close your eyes. If someone here could say, Javier, if I die today, I am not 100% sure that I will go to heaven, but I want to repent today and I want to receive Jesus as the owner of my soul. Could you raise your hand? If you want to be saved, you haven't done yet, and you want to be saved, you say, Javier, please pray for me. I want to repent and receive Jesus. Yo quiero arrepentirme y recibir a Jesús como mi Salvador. Usted puede levantar su mano si aún no lo ha hecho y quiere arrepentirse y recibir a Cristo como su Salvador. Si aún no lo ha hecho, puede levantar su mano para orar por usted. Alguien que no ha recibido a Cristo y diga, yo quiero recibir a Cristo, puede levantar su mano para orar por usted. If someone here say, Javier, I don't know if I die today, I'll go to heaven, but I want to repent and I want to belong to Jesus and nobody else. I want to belong to Jesus. I want to repent. I want to receive Jesus. Could you raise your hand? If you haven't done yet, could you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. That message was for children of the Lord. So God bless you, my brethren.